to Inside Out, The Naked Truth. Coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Los Gatos Hills of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked.
Now, not many people know this, but nudity is not just skin deep. We do our best to uncover our truths, to disrobe and dismantle them, our assumptions, perceptions, and attitudes. Yep, that's what Rochelle and I do on a pretty regular basis. And tonight we're going to share it with you with some conversation, maybe have some poetry. For sure, we've got some great music. And hopefully we'll get some yucks out of it, because if you don't get your yucks, well, as you know, if we really knew, we'd be laughing.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strader.
And I
must know something. I'm laughing all the time.
She is. And I'm Errol Strider, the observer of the all-the-time laughing Rochelle Strider.
Tonight's show is brought to you by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but is good for you.
I can feel my stomach just going, ooh, give me some of that. So I may go to Whole Foods, or I could go to Trader Joe's, which is closer, or I could even go to Costco over at the old organic section and get some Go Raw products, or I can just eat them right offline, just right there. Just dig into your computer at goraw.com. Chomp away.
Well, if we sound silly tonight, it's because we've decided to do our show at home at Lupin with Errol and Rochelle. And when Errol first said this to me, he said, you know, why don't we do something more off the cuff, you know, like how we talk to each other at home.
And no screaming.
And I got scared because in my house, I'm really naked. I mean, you know, the kind that is not about looks, but about feelings and thoughts. I really let those feelings and thoughts become unclothed at home with Errol.
She has no choice. I've got her tied up.
Best friend, you're able to say what you feel and feel what you say, and that's
yeah, especially when I hang her upside down from her ankles and say, "Give me your truth."
You've never done that, and you never will. That would be cruel and inhuman, and you're just not cruel and inhuman. And Errol is gesturing for me to give him the water that I brought in just a few minutes ago, and he put down and can't find. Errol. There in the corner.
It's so consistent.
And yes, we have been together almost 40 years, and I have heard this phrase at least once, if not many times during the day. It goes something like, Rochelle, do you know where the variations are? I just put it down.
What on earth?
Where did it go?
I could have sworn that's one of my favorites.
I didn't move it. I know I didn't move it. That's the biggest lie he tells himself. I know I didn't move it.
Right. And it's funny because one of the things we've deduced as a result of examining this behavior is that I don't actually lose things. I hide things from myself. And
this is a ridiculous thing to do as far as I'm concerned.
And I've gotten better at it the older I've gotten.
Yes, he has.
And I can really, really hide things from myself.
I can almost theorize that he will do more and more of it if he lives a long time.
Oh, my gosh. My poor dear. Pray for Rochelle. She will be living for the guy who basically will have one line. Where is the...
When you start saying, where am I? Then I'm leaving. It's at home at Lupin with Errol and Rochelle is what tonight's about. And it's pretty much like we're just going to riff on things that interest us and things that don't interest us. Things that we'll talk about our buttons getting pushed, but not about the people who push the buttons.
Well, speak for yourself. I may not want to talk about my buttons.
We paid a pact that we would not mention.
I know, but I may not want to talk about buttons at all.
Oh, well, that's perfectly okay with you.
Okay.
He's got zippers. He's a modern man.
For those of you who have buttons that get pushed, you know your buttons are getting pushed when you kind of go inside.
It can't always be discerned from the outside. You may have a very placid looking face.
Right.
You may even have a smile on your face while your insides are churning.
Well, I was in a conversation today organizing an event for a group that's coming out this way. And I had proposed a certain play that I had written as the structure for the activity. And during the conversation, one of the people who's on the committee just didn't get it. And she said, I'm having knots in my stomach. Like some button in her got really, really pushed. And we actually kind of talked a bit about it, which I thought was really good. And she got into sharing that she was the daughter of her first parents were Holocaust, not survivors or whatever. And then the whole thing about Judaism and blood, and it was like, boom, all of a sudden the conversation was like, went zap right to that kind of deep place.
Well, I think that's what happens. You know, we feel what we feel. Then we try to disguise what we feel by not letting, so we won't let anybody know how we feel. But it's always there. And there's a lot of sensitive people walking around who put up walls so they won't feel and get hurt and all the feelings that run around, which is so toxic. But they feel that from other people. I mean, the sensitive people feel other people's stuff, but they don't know what to do with it. So it seems really nice that you were able to kind of like just be with this person and allow her to share, and that people were there holding her in a sense. And
yeah, it was really good because we don't really know each other. I wouldn't know what this woman even looks like, but this event is providing us an opportunity to get to know each other and then to create something. It's actually for Easter, and we're creating this, what I think will be a magnificent event of artists of various media coming together to celebrate the life mission and the essence of who that person we call Jesus, which I like to call him, as he was probably addressed in his own day, Yeshua, or Rabbi, or Abba, and to be able to celebrate it together. And that's happening March 27th through 21st. Maybe some of you are out there listening might like to join us right out here, like 10 minutes from Lupin. There's a presentation center where this is going to happen. And it's especially for people who, well, let's put it this way. The organizers are people who read the Urantia book, but I believe it's for everyone.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you believe it's for everyone. I think the truth is for everyone. We get lost on what the clothes the truth wears, you know, like the trappings of Islamic or the trappings of Buddhism or the trappings of Christianity or the trappings of whatever, you know, it's the trappings, and we get stuck in that. We don't listen to what's being said and then translate it into our own language. And you find that we pretty much speak more the same language than people know once they learn how to translate.
Well, what occurred to me as you were talking about the trappings become a trap. Maybe that's why they're called trappings, because you get entrapped.
Did you figure that out all by yourself?
Just now. I have to tell you something that I didn't tell you about our move. And this is a good moment to tell you because
I'm stuck in a radio.
Yeah, you're stuck in a radio show and you have to listen.
And I won't be able to kill you.
Yeah, and you won't be able to slap me around the side of the head because I have my microphone headset on.
God, I'm so nervous.
I know, I can tell right now.
You have to preface it. I mean, we moved a year and a few months ago out of Fairfax and had our stuff in a storage space. And then some very lovely people in our lives gave us, an old warehouse of theirs to put our stuff in. And we did. And now they sold the warehouse. The warehouse is going to be dismantled. And now we've moved our stuff to some old dilapidated sheds here at Lupin.
Right. Okay. That's the longer than we wanted version, but it's good. So what happened was, is I got these couple of guys, great guys, very helpful, really good guys who live with me here at Lupin, young fellows. And we went out to get the truck, and as I got the truck, we were ready to get on the highway. At that moment, I remembered that the keys to the warehouse are in the car. Now, that's really interesting to me because it just out of the blue, I'm reminded, and I've looked at that phenomenon because it happens often that something that I need to know, it'll just pop into my consciousness.
Yeah, usually after a few minutes and you're halfway down the highway.
Well, there was something about 4 years ago that I'm kind of still waiting for it to kick in and remind me what it is as it kicks in.
So you went back, I hope.
I was right there just getting out of the driveway. But imagine if I had gone all the way up there.
Oh, God.
And I had to turn down. Of course, my little, you know, gas spending mind is going 95 cents a mile. I mean, that would be twice 95 cents a mile. That would be that.
I would have known this sooner. I've been with Errol for almost 40 years.
Known what?
but that you're frugal. I don't think I realized how frugal you were.
That's a nice way of putting it. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to be frugal, but
I've often identified with Silas Marner, but that's okay.
You're far more frugal than I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I would look at something, and if it really looks cheap, I'm not going to buy it just because it's cheap.
You
but you will buy it because it's cheap.
Sometimes, not always. That has been a criteria, I have to admit, for me in my past to base a big part of the decision on whether to get something about the monetary factor. I've let that influence me to the point of being basically economically crippled.
Penny wise and pound foolish.
Well, but this time I thought, you know, I'm living part of my life part-time in a tent. And I had a nice little tent, got me through the summer, but I thought, you know, I deserve a larger tent. And so I splurged and spent $200 instead of
10.
89, 10. And I'm happy to say I have my larger tent. And for those of you who are oriented toward Yeshua, speaking of Jesus, and his
tent.
Wait, not anymore. But I wanted to have a picture that I could hang on the tent walls. I'm not sure how to do that, but there was this little, plastic, ribbon kind of hook. And I have this one painting. It's called The Promise. And it was actually painted for me. It's like a charcoal. And these three characters, a young boy, an old man, and a Christ-like character walking through like the fields, probably of lilies. And it's called The Promise. And this is beautiful, that there is a promise, and that the promise is ultimately, I think, that we can go home.
Land of Bering, land of Eagle, land that gave us birth and blessing. Land that called us ever homewards, we will go home across the mountains. We will go home, we will go home, we will go home across the mountains. Land that gave us joy.
is that called?
We Will Go Home by Leah, L-E-A-H. And I think it's from a movie, The Song of Exile from King Arthur. And I think Leah, L-E-A-H. Thank you, Leah, for beautiful song. And just it really evoked a feeling of longing, didn't it? We're going to go home. And then I was thinking of the dispersal of the Jews, because we're talking about Jewish people and how we were dispersed and the longing to go home back to Jerusalem. And then it just took me to a lot of places. Here they are, Israel, and then there's home. And then what kind of home is that, where you're threatened on all sides all the time? And then home, we're talking about you and I, evening at home. We have wonderful evenings at home because we're too old and dumb to really know any better at this point.
That's not true. That's not, we have wonderful evenings at home. Erlyn, the thing that we have in common more than anything else is we love to take an idea and play with it the way some people play catch with a ball. We love to take an idea and kind of take it apart and reconstruct it. We love to take ideas and just look at them in awe sometimes and go, wow, what a great idea. And when they come out of our own brains, they're like, it's marvelous. It's really marvelous. And then we share what comes out of our own brains with each other and we each go, aha. So we have aha moments a lot.
Yeah, that's basically what we feed on. We found that an aha moment actually takes away, like, what was it, 15 or 25 calories? Each aha moment will just strip away 15?
I'm working on it.
Okay. In other words, instead of stuffing our face, we move the 15 facial muscles that are a part of our face that goes into laughter. You know, keep those 15 facial muscles busy. Otherwise, you know, they're going to slam onto somebody else's face.
Yeah,
go on their right.
I was talking to a friend the other day who was lamenting about things that upset her. And I said, you know, at this point in my life, if it's not fun, I try to make it fun. Because you can't expect other people to make it fun for you. Because other people have their own lives. And that's everybody, even the closest person in your life. But the fact that we can make it fun, we can sit down and look at everything we see. Like, I like this. This is my metaphor. I am the star of my own sitcom or my own movie. I go pay money to see me on the screen.
Miss Strider, we need to put you in the makeup chair now. Every morning we put Miss Strider in the makeup chair and we just make her over. And she got an old face when she comes in. And when she walks out, she's got a brand new face.
Oh, I don't want a brand new face.
Well, it's brand new to the paying public.
Yeah, but I like my face. I'm growing older is an amazing experience because you look in the mirror and there's this face looking about you that is like brand new. You've never seen it before because you still have this memory of the face that you had when you were younger.
Yeah, like when I was 1 and a half, I have this image.
you don't
of
have
that face.
No,
as what I have now. But there is this
15,
part.
15, I would say, is definitely a face 15. That you walk around trying to occupy.
Yeah, yeah. Rochelle raised a question the other night that I thought was really, really good. She says, do any men ever age beyond 15 years old?
I really did ask that question.
Yeah, you did, and I had to stop. I really did have to stop and go, you know, I don't know of any, but hey, you know, surely there are some. They're either out, what do you call it, acting out that thing, or they're repressing it. But either way, it's still that.
It seems that's true. Most of the men I know, a lot of them will deny it, but I get the women behind me, and I'm sure we'll all agree that that's true.
And we keep going through our stuff. That's the other thing that Rochelle and I found, and I started to wonder, will I ever let go of that dysfunctional behavioral reaction pattern that is stimulated by the same thing over and over?
Only if you choose to do it, sir.
Uh-huh.
You know, I really do think we get stuck in those patterns because they identify us. And to get rid of the pattern or the habit means, who are we, you know, without that habit or without that pattern? I mean, we cease to exist the way we are.
We were going to do this show on patterns, but now that you've brought it up, in reading some of Yeshua's comments from Love Without End, and one of the things I was struck by is he said the universe doesn't give birth to objects, it gives birth to patterns and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we objectify our experience so that it's an it over there and it there and this thing is a discrete object over there, we can relate to them as needed in their own little container of identity, but it's actually patterns of relationships that are happening. So if what is fundamental is patterns of relationship, that's like a living, vibrating intelligence that's holding this pattern, which I also sense is fluid but consistent in certain ways it acts out and is oriented. And for $300, what are the ways that it is consistent? And
are you giving me $300?
Well, one of the, some of the ways that the universe is consistent, in the sense that as an artist,
universe or each of us individually.
Well, it's either or in both. I guess I want to say that there's a consistency about reality. There's a certain kind of law that's the way it is, like gravity. If you jump up, you're going to come back down.
There's unless certain, you grab hold of something.
Right, you know. And
but when you let go of it, you will come down.
You will come down. So part of my process, and this is something that Rochelle and I share a lot, is to probe into that and really ponder like the nature of gravity. And then when we understood that there's mental gravity, we all gravitate to certain mental patterns and people who think in certain ways, and then there's spiritual gravity. Now that was that's a real illuminating notion.
Yeah, and some would say you're going in the opposite direction with spiritual gravity. You're going above the earth. But I think that you can find that which is within us is the same as that which is above and beyond us.
Well,
I mean, in the sense that I think each human being is, in a sense, when you get down to the essence of who we are, that we are the microcosm of the macrocosm.
Holographically reconstituted in this very tiny form.
Very tiny compared to the universe. I mean, absolutely, like, ridiculously tiny compared to the universe.
But check this out. Think of the thing that's most prominent about anyone you encounter. And it's their that thing we call personality. It's this distinctive way they show up in life, that's their personality. Mm-hmm. And it's so distinctive in each person. It's just amazing how diverse our personality is. So here we have this phenomenon that we don't necessarily tend to think about, but it is always foremost in our affect. And people dismiss the notion that the supreme being of all reality also has the face of personality, and it is our faces. It is our affect, our personality, that is allowing the infinite to sort of step down from his pedestal of infinity and occupy personality and the capacity to be self-aware and aware of others and to recognize the value of the other and how we share with each other.
Yeah, I'm trying to translate that into recognizable terms, because you said supreme and you used words that many people may not be familiar with.
Suprajic. Supreme is suprajic.
The way I look at it, using a different language, is that if you look at a picture in a newspaper, though I don't know if they still make them like that, and they have these tiny little points, and all these little points come together and make a picture.
Yeah, they're called halftones.
Halftones, right. So that each individual on this planet is a halftone of the greater, the greater of the planet, you know, and when we all get together, and then all the planets are halftones of the solar system, and the solar systems are all halftones of a larger system, and it keeps going and
ad
going and
infinitum,
going.
If
ad
you will.
Ad infinitum. And then if you go backwards, you know, having this big, 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 big thing, and then you can bring it down, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down, once to us, that we have that within us, as the all has us within it. Did that make any sense?
Not only did it make sense, it gets 6 bonus points. Miss Strider, you win 6 bonus points for having not only a making sense notion, but a notion that just kind of mellifluously dribbled off your mouth.
And you get 5 for being able to say that word.
I didn't. I actually lost 5.
No, but you did finally say it.
I couldn't.
Even though it was under the radar.
Okay. So this does all relate to home, because home is that place. Think about home. Think about your home.
No, I'm not going to think about home.
No?
It makes me upset.
Oh, okay. Now we're getting down to it. Okay, folks, we're going to just, get naked now. And really, let's start talking about it. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were playing a song.
Well,
Al also told me today that he loves music. He loves song. He just loves it. And as long as I've known him, there's always been music in our house. I mean, in fact, the only time there isn't music in the house is when I'm all by myself.
I know. We had a friend come stay with me. He says, I think I'm going to die of classical music if I stay here. Which I thought was really funny. We did actually have someone who died from the classical music, but it was kind of an old Mozart piece.
We did not. But anyway, I wouldn't want to.
Rochelle has this thing here, that when I say things that are outrageous, that people will take me literally.
They do.
Oh.
and then when they find out he was joking, there's this feeling, there's this look on their face like they've been taken.
Betrayed.
So I tell Errol to please wink or do something, you know.
All right, I winked. Tonight I winked. I said it. You saw me winking.
I can see you wink on the radio, Errol.
Really? I thought they were just watching. No, I thought they were hearing my wink. Because I have a loud wink.
You did such a good job of flying all over the place that I forgot what I was going to say about the music and you leaving. And me. Oh, right. So, you know, every week we have a theme, and Errol finds music that goes with the theme. And then he said, well, if we're going to do this show like the way we talk to each other at home, and of course you are visiting us. Because
wake up, by the way, wake up. Imagine me shaking you.
Because you're here with us, so you're in our house right now. You're with us in our home. And so he said, well, I'm not going to deal with the theme at all. I'm just going to find music that I like and share it with people. So now, did you hear him say, oh, this is all about home and I've got all this music about it?
Well,
you cannot teach a dog new tricks.
I differ to beg, okay, if you don't mind.
Differ all you want.
I'm going to differ to beg. Having come up with this new idea, I already had a lot of momentum and energy and inertia still moving on the old format, which is what we're doing tonight, like these songs on this theme. So it's going to take a while for that old inertia. And I think that's something that it's very important to...
Are we going to live that long?
We may not, now that you mention it. But I think it's valuable to recognize that there are certain behavioral patterns that have an inertia to them. So if you're actually on a journey to like heal or improve yourself or transcend your limitations or overcome emotional blocks or shoot under par, well, you have to deal with the stuff that
and
comes.
You said it. In order to get to where you want to go, you have to start from where you are.
Yeah. But you have to have embarked, I think, on this journey to get back home.
I'm on the need you to raise your glass. I don't care what you put in it. Here's the nights that you can't take back. We live hard, but we love to laugh. We all thought that we'd get rich fast. Hop the plane out for greener grass. Found out the green is cash. Don't compare to your friends at last. See, we won't forget where we came from. The city won't change us. We beat to the same drum. No, we won't forget where we came from. The city can't change us. We beat to the same drum. The same drum. To the cheap sunglasses, Red Bull and minivans, and people who had your back when the world didn't understand. See, we won't forget where we came from. The city won't change us. We beat to the same drum. No, we won't forget where we came from. The city can't change us. We beat to the same drum. The same drum. Find our way back home.
Who are these people when they're home?
Who are these people? What that, before we go there, what I had an image of was of beings throughout the entire universe singing that chorus. That, and joining that throng of the end singing, no matter where we go, we always find our way back home. And I was imagining billions of beings on planets strewn out the universe, kind of all singing that together.
That's sweet.
Yeah? That's sweet. Do I feel patronized or what? That's sweet, honey.
Well, how you feel has nothing to do with me.
That's the other thing we discovered. We used to try to make each other responsible for how each of us felt.
Yeah, it's a noble and, what is the word, losing cause.
Right. And more and more, of course, we realize we are each responsible for the things that we feel, tempting though it is often.
I have to tell you
something. To blame someone else.
I have this friend, and she said, this is what she got today, which I thought was so wonderful. She said she got that even though she may not like something, and that is her prerogative not to like it. But it is not her prerogative to make the person who's doing it wrong. And feel that she has to change them or control them to make them be like she wants them to be. And I thought, wow, when you get that, when you wake up to that, that's a beautiful step towards your own magnificence as far as I'm concerned.
Definitely. And what we'd like to remind you, if you're here with us and you're alive and kicking and you want to be part of the conversation, you can actually call in, like right now. 888-627-6008. Okay, I can see it, Diane. I can see you, like, you know, scrambling. Okay, wait a minute. I got to get a piece of paper. And no, that pen doesn't work. Yeah, okay, there you go. Okay.
Say it again, then.
888-627-6008. And it works in English or French. Give it a call. In the meantime, we are sponsored, thankfully, to indulge in this and these shenanigans. We have a sponsor, Go Raw, that believes that somehow what we have to share is munchy.
Agrees with.
It's a spiritual kind of munchies.
Yes, it is. At least it has to be cooked.
Right.
The thing about spirit, and that's a thing that I always wanted to deal with in my life. It's like, you know, people think when they use the word spiritual, for some reason, they always think of intermediaries like crystals or meditation or anything that comes between them and their own truth. And that's fine. But that's not what I think of when I think of spiritual.
What do you think of, Rochelle, when you think of spiritual?
It's when I'm totally connected to everything, not it's there and I'm here. It's like my connection is replete. I don't have any judgments that keep me from being one with you. To me, that's a spiritual reality that the universe, though seemingly differentiated, is totally connected.
It's like an insight I had many years ago that went something like this. Having arrived spiritually doesn't leave one with a sense so much that you found it, comma, but that you're able to recognize it in others.
Oh, that's nice. I like that.
Except we're not its. But
well, we could be its.
Yeah, I guess we're it.
I don't mind being an it.
Speaking of it, I want to recommend a book to y'all. Wait, did I miss something?
No, I was just going off on it. It's a funny little word.
It is a funny little word. It's cute. You know, it's one of those, when they were inventing all those words, they had like a weekend workshop and they invented all the
right,
words.
Whoever they were.
Right. And at one point they said, let's invent like a really small word that represents a lot. Some guy said, what about it? And then there's its, and there's zillions of its, and there's it idiots. And it's a great word.
It is
but
a great word.
But what I wanted to say about this from another context, which is a frame about philosophical spiritual speculation, Martin Buber wrote a book called I and Thou. And it is truly a read this one if you can before you're gone. It's like a preview of coming events. And he makes the distinction between I-thou relationships and I-it, which is where I'm headed with this. And I-it means we treat each other essentially like a functionary. You perform a function in relationship to me. Those are I-it relationships.
I find this stuff.
Right. Right. And I lose it.
Well, that's the
I'm a functionary in your
sense.
Life.
We have a symbiotic relationship.
We do. That.
Good.
I it. And it's a good way of determining whether your relationship is I it and I or thou. And I thou has more to do with, it's hard to describe, but it's recognizing the nobility of the spiritual presence that you are in relationship with, no matter what they look like or what they're doing, but you both recognize that in each other, and it's a mutual comprehension of a shared divine personal essence that you recognize in each other, way beyond being a functionary. Honey, would you take out the trash?
Well, that's a good function.
Nothing wrong with good functions. Those are good, but...
But who's doing it? Is a thou taking out the trash or an it?
No, it's up to the it or the thou, depending upon which one's taking out the trash.
But is the trash the it? Can we think of the trash as thou?
Well, if it's me seeing you as the means to take out the trash, we were just remembering we were first living in Los Gatos, and we heard the trash man coming at 5:30 in the morning, and we both jumped out of bed naked and went for the trash,
that
gathering.
Was a precursor to living at Lupin.
Well, wait a minute. No, we are very conscientious about picking up our trash.
Oh, yes. I wasn't talking about our trash. I was talking about being naked.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's right. You know, for those of you who are aware that we live in a clothing optional community, and as I was writing to someone just recently, Alan, I believe, that living here, the clothing optional part, the nudity, for example, is really kind of the least of the interesting activities that happened around here. It's the drama and the stories and the adventures and the people that come through and the different personalities that work here. That's the rich,
part. We're living in such an amazing place because it's two things. One, it is a community of people who work and live here. Not all the people who live here work here. But everybody lives here, and so we're about 40, 50 people living here, including children and infants. And
a couple new ones in our gated community.
Right. And so, you know, that's an interesting mix right away, you know, because so many people live in communities where you really don't know your neighbors at all. You never see them. You don't know anything about them. But we know a lot about our neighbors, and we interact with them every day. And so, of course, there's always dramas in neighborhoods. I've lived in many neighborhoods in my life, and there's always dramas if you are, you know, if you're able to know about those things, that you're privy.
Informed?
To the things that are going on in your neighborhood, you know. And they used to have women who would spend their time standing on the street corner gossiping. And if you wanted to know something about anybody, you listen in. I mean, this is before People Magazine and Us. But so there was, and here, it's pretty much like that. It's a neighborhood, and people talk about each other all the time. So it's a very fascinating place to live. Then there's the other part of it. It's a resort. And people come from all over the world to come to Lupin. And we've met people from Australia and England and India, and I'm trying to think where the last
there was just
was
a fellow here who didn't
Sweden.
Speak. We had a Swedish guy, and we had this French guy who came here to learn American.
To learn how to speak American, yeah.
Which we thought was quite horrible, amusing. Hello, Jean-Louis, in case you're listening over there in France.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's so rich. It's such a rich thing. But like a lot of rich things, if you eat a dessert that's too rich and you eat too much of it, it can give you a tummy ache.
Right.
And so we have to, you have to be, I think that in a mature way, we have to always be aware that, you know, like, okay, this is all I want can take in right now. And you have to kind of step back a little bit and look at the trees. And that's the beauty of this place is there's 110 acres of trees here. And you just look up and the trees and the leaves and the sky and all the stuff that's going on and all the gossiping and the rumors and the laughter, and even the laughter, which is delightful to be part of. But it fades, and you're left with this sort of an entryway into the heavens.
Come and gone away from Paris or Rome, but I wanna go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. Just wanna go home. Oh, I miss you, you know. And I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one in line or two. I'm fine, baby, how are you? Well, I would say them, but I know that it's just
just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more. Another aeroplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I wanna go home. I got to go home. Let me go home. I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna come home. And I feel just like I'm living someone else's life. It's like I just stepped outside when everything was going right. Not come along with me, that this was not your dream, but you always believed in me. Another winter day has come and gone away in either Paris or Rome, and I wanna go home. Let me go home. Surrounded by a million people, I still feel alone. Let me go home. Oh, I miss you.
Again, the longing for home. How about you? When you think of home, Rochelle, excuse me, that was Michael Bublé? I don't know, B-U-B-L-E with a little accent mark over the E. I thought that was really very, very heartfelt. I
felt
him.
Is that a title?
Home.
That's all?
Home. Mm. Yeah.
Hmm.
So when you think of home, we've never had this conversation. This is interesting. What's the first thing you think of? You say home. Like before, I use the word home and you have consideration. So where do you think of when you think of home? Of all the places you've lived in your life?
Well, in truth, home is the place I return to all the time to sleep and to be with the person I love. That's home. Then the next level of what I think of is home.
Okay.
It's like my stuff's there.
So now we have our stuff in a storage.
My bed and stuff and person I like. So there's that extra stuff, you know, because it could be in a hotel room with my person that I love and my bed. But when I have my stuff, you know, I'm very funny about stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's not my possessiveness. It's when I find something. Like if I'm in a store, usually I go to secondhand stores because they always have things that I like for prices.
I go to fourth-hand stores because I'm such a frugal person.
He's very frugal, exactly. But it's like this like a little treasure, you know. It's like you had a gold mine and you found a nugget. You go, oh, a nugget. Wow. Well, that's the way I am with stuff. I find something and I fall in love with it and I like to keep it. And I've gone through, of course, in a lifetime, you go through lots of stuff. It breaks. You move and you can't take it with you.
You outgrow it.
You outgrow it.
It outgrows you.
It outgrows you. There's, you know, you're always moving stuff around. But until I get to that point with stuff where I'm ready to let go of it, I don't want to. Therefore, we now have a garage full of stuff that I won't even look at because it's scary. We're living in a tiny little cabin, and which is adorable. But at the same time, it can't hold much stuff.
But you know who else thinks it's adorable? The termites.
Huh?
The termites love our house.
Oh, that's true. We have termites.
They are so happy with our house. They
but
just
you notice
chomp
it's getting
away.
Colder, they don't seem to chomp away as much.
We have warm weather termites. They fly to Miami in the winter, then they come back.
It's a migrating.
Migrating termites. You've seen them. So if you see kind of like a dark cloud kind of go over your head, you know.
Millions of them.
And you feel sawdust descending upon your head, that's the termite migration. You were here. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, golly. Yeah, we do. I've never lived in a house with termites before, but we do have them, and that's quite something else. Errol had a cooking lesson today, which is kind
of did. Fun. I did.
Yeah, well, a long time ago, there was a chef here at Lupin who I'm told was primo, very excellent, and she moved to the Hamptons in Long Island.
Long Island. She sounds like she's from Long Island.
Long Island.
Yeah.
Long Island.
Long Island.
Or whatever it is. I
love hearing her
in
talk.
Brooklyn.
I'd listen to her all
and
day
having
today.
A summer house in Patchogue, Long Island, which is very close to the Hamptons. I know that area well.
It's about $500,000, $2 million away?
Pretty much, in terms of the homes, that's for sure. So anyway, Errol had a cooking lesson today. And I asked him what he learned, and he said, well, I don't know. And then, of course, like everything else, we got him to get him.
Well, the biggest thing I learned that can't believe I didn't know it, it's called something and shocking your vegetables. I forgot what the first word is.
Parboiling.
She had another term for it, but yeah, you parboil the vegetables for 3 or 4 minutes, and then you take them out and you put them into literally ice cold water.
That's right. And they'll stop cooking.
And according to her, they retain their color.
Yeah.
And they stop cooking. And I felt like, to me, that was like the golden mean finding. You know, now I can stop my potatoes from cooking before I'm ready to mix them with the rest of the meal.
Potatoes.
The vegetables.
Potatoes.
No, vegetables.
Yeah, colored vegetables usually, like, you know, things like carrots and peas. And
well, that was extraordinary.
Peas will come out beautiful because they retain their really bright green color, and yet they're edible.
Yeah. And the chopped, what do you call it?
I don't know.
Chopped chicken liver that went in there with it at the same time.
What?
No, that
He's
was a different.
He's not winking. Because you can't
so
see
bad.
A wink anyway. And it's such a bad joke. You know,
no,
Errol
it doesn't qualify
once,
even as a joke.
Errol told me once that great comics, you know, they sit in this room with their writers, you know, and they pick maybe 1 out of 100 jokes
literally.
That work that they'll you know, introduce to other people, the audience.
Right.
And so, but I am the audience. So I have to listen to 99
a day. It is. While you're laughing at that, let me just help you just musically reflect on just another way to think about home by Philip Phillips.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, just know you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. The trouble, it might drag you down. You get lost, you can always be found. No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.
That's a great song. That was so inspiring. I didn't play all of it because we have to let you go. But I hope you, if you didn't have your toes tapping at least a couple times tonight, then you need to get some foot warmers.
It's got to do with anything.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, Philip Phillips. What do you call it? That
Philip
song?
Phillips. Yeah.
What
yeah.
do you call it?
It's called Home. Once again,
the home.
Home, yeah, home. Home. I hit the mark this week. Anyway, we got to go. This is Errol and Rochelle. Let us hear from you. Give me an email, estrider@gmail.com. .com.
Well, everybody knows that,
yeah,
but some may
so.
Not know that.
That's
you
right. And in
remember.
The, wait. We're almost ready. Yeah. She said the magic word. Okay, but we're not quite ready. All right. So come back and see us, or listen to us, I should say, next Tuesday, same time, same place. And we're, what? Remember what, Rochelle?
Remember, resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. And pain is fear.